When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nothing to me says romance like looking for condoms and Hennessy.
She's the crazy one of the season.
And the drunk.
He calls her Naggy.
His shirt's open like a Colombian drug lord.
He does not like pizza.
Can we talk about the big, wide open fish mouth?
He's like a walking success poster. Yeah.
It's the Bachelor Podcast. I'm Christine Lee with Katie Pallotta. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
Ryan Jones.
Hello again.
And our special guest, Matt from The Bachelorette. Matt from Connecticut. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Good. Good morning, everybody. How are you guys doing today?
So you watched the episode last night where it was the hometown episode.
I missed Eric's date, but otherwise I saw all of my buddies get their hometowns. They all went well, in my opinion.
It's funny you say that because watching the episode felt like the realest hometown episodes ever with the realest Bachelorette. Like, I'm watching it, and Brian's mom, did you cut your hair? You're not eating? You look skinny. Like, that's my mother-in-law. Like, I felt like I cried when she got upset. Like, it was a very real episode, starting with Eric's visit.
Yeah, I felt the same way. Nothing between all the dates really felt forced at all, like they normally do.
Well, because remember with Nick, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, look right out the window, there's an ex-girlfriend. Yeah. Oh, and these just seemed, you know, normal. Even with Eric's, yeah, where his friend came to say hello, that obviously is like, hey, come hang out. But there was no accidental bumping into someone. It was just, this is where I grew up, and it as natural as I think we're going to get.
So on Eric's date, and I know you have to go back and watch, yep, just his date, you saw the rest, but on Eric's date, his aunt pulls Rachel aside and she jumps right in. She goes, I want to talk about the race question. Okay. You are the first Black Bachelorette. You're not only having to appeal to one group of people, but to another group of people, and that's got to be so hard on you. She said, yeah, it's kind of a lot of pressure, but it feels I'm really with a good group of people who really, it's pressure and it's not pressure. So mm-hmm. What was that like on the set? Did you notice anything, or was it just like any other thing?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I haven't discussed that too much. But the facts of the matter are that it was a non-factor,
right,
for so many of us. And I think to the viewers at home, it's maybe, you know, worth talking about. But for us, it never came up once. She was just, the best part about her is she leads with her authenticity, to be honest with you. So, like, that's what you encounter first and foremost, just a normal girl. And for us, having been doing this for our first time, she's been through this process before, we didn't know what to expect. So it was the perfect match for all of us to deal with somebody who was just so normal and disarming and put you at ease when she sat down with you. And so that's what we picked up on, you know, again, just a non-factor.
And that's probably the point, yeah, of the show, is they wanted to make people say it's a non-factor, like, wake up everyone who it is a factor for.
Yeah, I think when I was asked to do the show, it was, you know, the question was posed to me, like, are you interested? I feel like, of course I'm interested.
Wait, and who asked you?
Well, you know, when we were going through the process,
yeah,
people are, every step of the way. Like, you still want to do this. You never know. You could meet somebody midway through. You could just change your mind on the whole thing. You get cold feet. I mean, this is a lot of exposure, and you know, you put your dirty laundry out there for everybody to see. So, I mean, it's intimidating. You know, so that's why it is nice to be surrounded by a lot of people who just put you at ease. Number one out of that group was Rachel. And I think it's due to the fact that she had been through it before. And the fact that she does, I think, come across on screen as such a easy to get along with, you know, well put together person who we all had a great rapport with. And she just made a very surreal experience seem so natural and unforced.
And that's what she did on Eric's date, Ryan, where she let it be known that I'm going in here with you. She did on all the dates, really. Like, don't be nervous. I'm here with you. With the exception of Peter, I would say.
Okay.
Right? Like, don't be nervous. I'm here with you.
Yeah, no, I mean, she definitely didn't change her game plan for any of these hometowns. And I think the interesting thing is when you get to this point in the seasons, it's always now, okay, who's going to drop the L-bomb first? And how's it going to be reciprocated? And so each person led to the way that they were going to say it, and Eric started it, and he was going to, and then he said, I love this girl. I'm falling in love with you. I really, really like you. So he started down the road, and then it's almost as if, because he made a big deal about the fact that he's never been in love, and so expressing that sort of thing is not easy to do, especially when his mother even said, you know, I sort of kept you at arm's length for a reason. You know, you had to become your own man, and you saw what was going around you. It's a difficult way to grow up. And so he went down the road, and then
yeah, he'd never brought anyone home to mom. Tough neighborhood. A lot of the strong men in the family were still strong men, but had a difficult life and had to make some hard choices.
Yeah, he definitely went off the you know, running from love my whole life. Never had it, never experienced it. I don't know what to do, kind of.
Eric was, you know, hands down my best friend out of the whole experience. And that part of him is 100% authentic. This whole thing was an evolution because he started out very skeptical. In the house, at times, didn't know if he'd make it, if he would last, just because he needed to feel very connected to her to think that there was the potential there for him to fall in love, because again, he had never experienced it before. So he made sure, and I think it wasn't until, to be honest, his one-on-one date where the connection came full circle. But early on, he needed to feel like the two of them were really engaged and embarking on something really special. Because for him, it was going to be as special as it gets. It was going to be his first time falling in love. And that's why you see him go through some difficult times early on. Because he's like, I've never done this before. I've never fallen in love. So I have to be willing to open myself up. And I got to know that she's going to be right there with me. Because if she's not, then this is too big of a leap of faith for me. And I might as well just go home. So once I think he felt that connection with her, he was able to move forward. And he and I helped each other a lot throughout this whole thing. Because there were times where we both were like, I don't know about all this. It's just crazy. And throughout our moments with her and our discussions with each other, we were able to push ahead, basically. And lucky for both of us that we did, because I think we learned a lot about ourselves. And as you see Eric, I mean, I know that no matter what happens and what you watch with him as this thing unfolds, you're getting a realistic, like, barometer of where he was throughout every point in this. And he's starting to fall in love as you watch it on TV. This was the point, you know, where he really started to have huge feelings for her. And so, again, it's real. I think, as you guys pointed out too earlier, and that's always the question everybody asks, is it real? I mean, you guys are fans of the show. Do you get that sense that this season and the group of guys that you're watching on TV, do you think that it was a little bit, it felt a little more natural watching it? I think it's all pretty, I mean, we pay a lot of attention to some of the drama and things like that, but.
Well, we heard stories about how you sign your life away and that you have to agree with whatever story arc the producers create for you is what you get. And if you're villainized, you're villainized. And it seems like what you're saying is that Eric is what's happening with him that we see is what you saw. And it's real. And a lot of the previous seasons have been like, come on, you know that was edited to look a certain way and create a certain feeling. And you do get that feeling that this is a lot more genuine.
I can't really speak to the editing, but I can speak to the fact that the path that each of these guys is on are, you know, that's what we talk about, where they stood, where Kenny was at with his daughter and being so torn and conflicted between missing his daughter, but wanting to try to do right by his daughter and maybe meet a beautiful woman who he could introduce to his daughter. That was his, like, juxtaposition the whole time. He was having a difficult time, and we talked about it many times. So, like, there was nothing that was forced there. Kenny's a dad, first and foremost, and he's a sweet guy. A big part of him wanted to go home, and a big part of him wanted to stay. That's 100% real. So I think that my experience, at least for what I can speak to, I wasn't told to do anything. I was just told, you know, I was made comfortable to be myself, you know? I didn't think I'd last because I figured if you yourself, you know, none of us are that exciting. Some of us are bigger personalities than others, but, like, we're all pretty normal people. That's why I enjoyed it, because a lot of these guys I got to know, we were all sort of like fish out of water. We'd never done anything like, well, most of us had never done anything like this. But I think it was just, like, refreshing to meet a bunch of guys who were pretty regular dudes. And most guys are pretty prideful and aren't going to be forced to stick to any sort of storyline or agenda that anyone feeds.
Oh, I think Waboom has you on that, but, you know.
Well, but again, that was... As far as I can tell, I didn't spend a lot of time with Lucas. That was on him. That's what he decided.
That was his shtick.
Not like somebody, I mean, again, I don't know what went on behind closed doors, but my encounters with these guys and the time spent, it was all, none of it was forced. All of it was just, these are the guys they were.
Well, you're Ryan's hero when Rachel said goodbye to you.
Because you did the rare kiss on the exit.
Okay.
Almost
that
every
doesn't happen.
Well, and the champagne glass.
Well, that's part two.
Glass.
That's part two. Yeah. So first you get the double kiss on the way out, which usually it's just the hug and the pat and whatever.
Right.
And then you said, "I'm just gonna take this."
Yeah.
I'm gonna take
yeah.
This.
You had the kiss. Like you had the kisses on the mouth.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like
that's
happen.
No.
Maybe see, a kiss on the cheek.
That's why I like talking to you guys, because you're fans. You follow it. I watched Nick's season because I thought I might be on Rachel's season, and that was it. That's my
experience. Oh, so you had an audition that soon, so you had known.
I take that back. I didn't know it was going to be Rachel, but whoever it was going to be, I knew that
the next season
I had a chance of being on that show. So I figured I might as well watch a little bit of Nick's to try to get a feel for it. So that's unheard of.
Yeah, well, I don't know about unheard of, but it's just very rare, because usually it's the, okay, can I walk you out? And then you can tell varying degrees of
disappointment
or worse.
Yeah.
And you can see the wheels moving, and okay, are they mad?
Are they sad?
Are they still trying to process?
And what was your interpretation of me?
I thought you were in a little bit of shock.
Okay.
She made a big mistake.
But I did appreciate the fact that, you know, you wished her well, and, you know, just think about the process, like, this is over. Now just go back and keep your head in what's happening.
Yeah, you know, there was some parts that obviously get edited a lot that gets edited, but I had told her when we were sitting down in France that day, it's okay to be a little selfish. You know what I mean? This is about you at the end of the day. So get what you came for. You know what I mean? You signed up for this. You were guaranteed to be here for the over 2 months of time that it took to film, and away from your family. And, you know, it's a lot putting yourself out there. So I just thought that at the end of the day, and we had each other to lean on, all the guys did. She had a producer or two, and none of her friends. That's difficult to me. So, like, when we would argue and complain and things aren't as always, you know, glamorous as they seem, I thought, you know, I would kind of always preach the fact that, like, this girl, she's going through the same thing, and she really doesn't have anybody to talk to about it. So I give her a lot of credit. So I just thought, as things wound down a little bit and it got to those last 8-6 guys, at that point, I mean, I look a little shocked, but in reality, I was like, it became pretty clear who she started to really gravitate towards. So I appreciated her for not pretending like we were going to end up together at the end. And I think, to her credit and, you know, her level of maturity, she said, maybe I think we should go our separate ways for now. And, you know, I take a little bit of the blame there, because I was skeptical at times, as she points out, and I held back a little bit, and that might have cost me. And maybe in a different setting.
But isn't it weird? It's a game, and you're supposed to be into this person. Like, it's a game, and it's not a game at the same time. I mean,
how can you not be skeptical?
Yeah, like, exactly.
Well, I think that's where if you're willing to, like, buy into it, you know, it's just for a short period of time.
Roll the dice.
You know that, you know, I didn't think I'd make it as far as I did, to be honest. As things move forward, there are a lot of times where the two of us sat and talked for, even if it's only 20 or 30 minutes, And I thought, this is all worth it because this girl's great. And even if it doesn't work out, at least she's teaching me a little bit about myself. And maybe she could pick up on something from me. And we just ended up connecting on this fact that, like, we're both 32 years old. We've watched people around us move forward, get married, have kids, you know, at the very least be engaged. So it's like we're willing to just give anything a shot at this point and see if it'll work for us. That's the point I was at when I went on the show, just to say why not and see what happened. And I think she was in the same place. We found it, that common denominator between the two of us. Is it a game? Yeah, you have a lot of alpha males, a lot of type A personalities that I think maybe even subconsciously are trying to one-up each other as you went. And that's not as important, you know? Like, if she's meant to be with somebody else, then, like, I think that's what the way it should be.
Oh, my, everyone's heart right now who's listening is breaking hearing that. That's not, so sweet.
Well,
no!
Honestly, it's not
every
to
woman's
sound,
like, oh. Well,
it's more to say that, like, why would I just want to win and end up with this girl and have it be a forced thing and not feel like this is the way that it should have ended? Why put myself in that position? Why ruin her happy ending? I think she's a good girl. She deserves...
Because we always talk about that on the show, Ryan, happiness. About people being on the show for the wrong reasons.
Yeah. Drink!
Who wanted the fame and the fortune and the career after the bachelor or the bachelorette. They're thinking three steps ahead. They're not thinking about being selfless. So I think you're kind of a... Well, you and your cast, as from what you're saying, are a very unique group of people.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that there isn't, you know, always an exception to the rule. But I think for the most part, all of us were there. I could tell you that, like, when we're not in front of the camera, it's just like everybody's like, what's going to happen next? You know what I mean? You're just going through it. As you guys are watching it, when we're filming it, it's like we're just going from one step to the next, to the next, to the next. And you don't, there's no, like, outline for the way things are gonna go down. So it's a guessing game for all of us too. Like, how is this gonna, you know, what turn is it gonna take next?
Right.
But I just think it would be, I still look back and say, you know, if she felt strongest about a few guys, then I thought it was mature of her to, like, send other people home. And again, if time wasn't as much of the essence as it was within this setting and within these constrictions, then it you know, maybe we would have hit it off, and if there was more time to work on it. But when it was time for her to send me home, I think she realized that, and she I think was very cool in doing that, and very I think it was just a respectable thing.
Well,
to
we
do.
Were sad to see you go.
I think about that too. Like, if there was longer than, what is it, 10 weeks or so, would the bachelor or bachelorette end up with someone completely different?
Yeah.
Like, because you do have that time constraint, and
yeah, that's why. And then you even hear people like knocking Brian because he was from day one. He says, "We only got a little bit of time here, so I'm gonna make this happen, and I'm not gonna like think too much about it. I'm just gonna go in, and then we'll see where it happens." I mean, it's a whimsical thing. It's a roller coaster ride, and it ends before you know it. So either you're on or you're off, you know. And I give Brian credit. Like, a lot of people are saying, well, he goes in for the kiss right away. Well, why not? You know, it's an hourglass. You only have so long before this whole thing is over, so you might as well make your impression.
Well, that's a good transition into Brian's first, his hometown visit. I mean, his was completely different from Eric's.
His was completely different from everybody's.
He has what, I mean, I'm an only child, and I have an overbearing mother-in-law who's from Greece. So I can relate to this 100%. So he walks into his home, and there's his mom. You look so thin. Like, have you lost weight?
Well, because we mentioned the haircut.
The
too.
Hair.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This.
I was
that.
There. I was there for that. I got my haircut that day too. And and listen, they were the longest haircuts in haircut history.
Where'd you get your haircut?
To a local barber.
Oh, so for the grooming and the upkeep. Yeah,
not
exactly.
Really so much. Yeah, a little bit. You know, maybe with a beard or. I mean, we never wore makeup or anything like that. It was all just, you know, we were waking up most of the time off of like 3 hours of sleep. We were drinking the night before. We'd have to get up and you know, get in front of the camera. And that's not always easy to do. So, but yeah, the haircut thing is funny. Brian, I'm talking literally 90 minutes cutting his hair. And he was kind of pissed afterwards because it was... little too short. And like his mother said, you usually wear your hair longer. Why is it so short?
Yeah, and she totally called him out on that.
Yeah, I
mean, and dad too.
Eric's haircut was like, you think I'm kidding? Because it sounds like I'm exaggerating, but it was like 2 hours.
Come on, that's like a full cut and a dye job. Like, you seriously, you just had like a couple of little cleanup here and there.
I mean, it's safe to say I had the least hair out of everybody, and mine was the shortest. But I was just glad that they got me up and out of the chair because I wanted to go do something else besides spend the day getting our hair cut.
I mean, was the barber talking? I mean, what took so long?
He was talking. He was nervous. He was trying to. He knew that we were going to end up on TV, so he wanted to do his best work. And he was very nervous.
A lot of pressure.
And it's not easy because it's kind of
a makeshift
barber setup. No cameras.
Oh, okay.
So it was, you know, it was sort of a makeshift situation where he just kind of, you know, there was a. Usually you have a barber chair, it swivels around. He just had a regular armchair. So he's doing the best he can. But I swear we were there forever. And, you know, some guys went to Copenhagen. We were in Denmark. And by the time myself, Eric, and Brian, we were down the last six, and the three of us, who were the last to get haircuts, we spent our time in that hotel staring right across the water at Sweden. So I go, why don't we just, because it took longer to go to Copenhagen than it did to get on a ferry and go 15 minutes to Sweden. So I said, you know, it was kind of an ugly day.
You have the freedom to do stuff like that on your downtime?
This was an off day. Okay. On your down days, you know, dark days, you can get to see things a little bit and check out the, you know.
What the hell? Norway, Sweden, Denmark, you can do it all. Why not?
So we shot across to Sweden. So I actually snuck another country in, myself and those two other guys.
So was this your first time overseas?
I've been to Europe when I was about 14 years old, in Ireland, actually, and played basketball there with this exchange program. A bunch of us went there from Meriden, and then a bunch of those guys came to Meriden and stayed at our houses. So that was cool. I mean, I'd been to Ireland, but never this part of Europe. Never like Scandinavia. These are countries I never thought I'd go to. So it was wild for me to end up in places that otherwise I wouldn't have visited. So that's why. That was a big part of this whole thing.
How cool is that? A trip to Europe. I mean, I always wonder about the vacations that you guys get to take.
Yeah, I mean, I think they now spend more and more time with the international trips. I think that I figured we'd at least do one more trip in the States after South Carolina and then go overseas. So to find out when we were leaving Hilton Head that we'd be going to Norway, it was like, wow, here we go already. We're gonna be, you know, taking an 18-hour flight and going to Europe, which was tough. But once you're over there, every other country you go to is like,
an hour
and a half. So that part is pretty cool, but.
Yeah, but Miami's like another country where Brian's hometown is. And how did you think Rachel did, considering the overbearing mom and the kind of passive aggressive? Like, I could just feel it, even though she was a very sweet mom.
Yeah, yeah.
And she made me tear up when she was talking about it to my only son. But how did you think Rachel fared in that situation?
She did fine. I mean, we had heard about how his last relationship basically ended because of his mother.
Right.
And I think the mother lived up to the billing because not only was the sister, who was like the mini mother, who was preaching to Rachel about how the mother is so important and the mother, his mother was, I mean, you couldn't have scripted her better about he's my whole life, he's everything. You're marrying the family. I mean,
I went to church to pray.
Yeah. For me, if it's reversed and I'm the one walking into that, I mean, it's just for me. I'm out. I'm sorry. That's a little too much.
Well, you're talking to, you know, you're talking about one mama's boy to another, you know. So like for me, I think my mother was like relieved, like, man, if they came here, she's tough. I wouldn't have been so bad compared to her, you know. I mean, I knew he was a mama's boy. I knew he was close with his mom. It's part of our, you know, we would talk a lot about that, you know, how family and how parents, mothers especially, kind of factor into your relationships. It does, you know, it does play a role.
Of course.
So, you know, then I saw it on TV and I said, okay, you weren't kidding. but I get it because, you know, my mom can be tough at times too. I mean, my mom, his mom, they want the best for the kids and they just want to, you know, put these girls and Rachel in this instance through that proper vetting process. Make sure she's right for
her baby,
for her little boy. Yeah,
of course.
So I mean, I can't blame her, but I think Ray's handled it great. I mean, you know, I feel like for me, as you get a little older, you start to compromise a little bit, you know, bend a little bit, not break, but bend a little bit when it comes to trying to find somebody, because you realize that, like, it's not going to be perfect. Maybe that, like, you would have thought growing up or at 25 years old, like, it's going to be perfect. Going to nail it. Everything's going to be just right. You got to deal with in-laws, and when kids come along, you know, your parents, their parents might want to spend time. You got to, you know, it's a compromise. Like, that's part of growing older and finding out what it takes to be in a...
But she didn't seem like she was interested in compromise.
Yeah.
She seemed like she was interested in, it's all me.
There is no compromise.
I'm talking about Rachel, though. Like, I feel like Rachel...
Oh, no,
like,
I get that.
She liked him enough...
To say I could handle an overbearing mother-in-law.
I can find a way to you know, get along with your mom. We'll find some common ground.
Right, you know? But I didn't think there was compromise there, because it was her coming all the way across to saying, like, oh, yeah, we'll make this work. And Brian's just like, okay, good.
Yeah.
I mean, and the mother's like, oh, if he's happy, I'm happy, but if not, I'll kill you.
Yeah.
I mean, ha-ha-ha-ha. Wait, you're kidding, right? I think?
Yeah.
I hope.
Either you treat him good or you're dead.
Well, but yeah. Rachel said, family's important to me, too, and it's all about my family, too. And I thought Brian's mother was going to say, no, there's only one family. That's mine.
Right?
I
thought that, too.
I was surprised that the mom actually said, that's the answer I wanted to hear, that family's important to you. But I don't think she heard the whole rest of it, which was, my family is also important to me.
Yeah. You know? Besides that, I think that she got along well with Brian's mom, and his mother even said, you know, I could see in Rachel's eyes that she's a good person.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And she, like, I can see, you know, the connection, and I understand that they're both very happy, but I can just see in her eyes that she's a good person.
I agree with you. I mean, I just think that you gotta be a little tough, because it's a test. She was testing Rachel, and Rachel passed the test, you know, not surprising to me at all. But, you know, yeah, she kind of cracked down on her and was going to be tough. You have you're only there for a day, so you really want to get a good sense of, is this the right girl for my son? So I can't blame her for being tough. And Rachel passed with flying colors. And it seemed like at the end they had more respect for each other, since they had been through that little bit of tension. Mm. And I'm sure they'll probably, you know, now the door's open. If she ends up with him, then, you know, I think they both feel good about, you know, what the future might bring. So
Peter's hometown, Madison, Wisconsin, was next.
Yeah.
And this is the guy who you want the attention, and you know he probably likes you. You're pretty sure of it. But he's the one guy that I think seems to make her feel a little insecure.
Okay.
Like, it's, she's the one guy who's like, why aren't I getting, and I know he feels it, but he's, I'm not going to commit, I'm going to hold back, I'm going to be honest, because I'm not going to tell you something I don't believe. But you know when you're like this super confident, successful person,
mm-hmm.
and someone comes along and makes you feel nervous.
Like, I'm not sure about
I'm not sure. Yeah. Like, I get that impression of her around
yeah.
him.
Well, I mean, for starters, I think what I got out of last night's episode more than anything is I have a little bit more respect for Peter now, just knowing that he was completely honest and said, I'm riding a break because, you know, I'm not sure yet. It's better to take that approach rather than say, I'm all in.
But doesn't that make her want him more?
I would say, of course. Because you have to appreciate his honesty. And it seems like even when it's getting down to the very end, he's like, I'm gonna give you the truth now, so then you aren't upset with me later for you know, holding us back. And that's the fact that I'm not quite sure yet. I'm getting there, but I'm not quite there yet. And you gotta give the guy credit, right?
No, yeah. He started out the date with his friend. Like, they're walking to the farmer's market. Ryan, he meets his friends. They meet the friends there, you know.
Listen, this was, I think they both felt the same way about how natural it was.
Yeah.
And that she fit right in with his friends. But this whole idea kept coming back up, like you were talking about, well, maybe I'm not ready.
Right.
And it's treated like a negative thing, and I don't get that. I don't understand why.
Oh my God, to us, it is a negative thing.
After
like, what
2 months?
Is wrong with you? You're not ready?
After 2 months?
Bitch, I'm ready.
Like, and so I think Rachel's been 99% great at this. But for her to say, at the end of this, I need to be engaged, this is what we're here for. I said, what is wrong with being just in,
how
being committed?
How do you think she got a law degree? At the end of this, I'm going to have a friggin' law degree. She has goals. And you a goal without a plan is just a dream. She's got goals.
It's not by accident that you guys... The women in the room are on one side.
Yeah.
The guys. And there's, I feel like there's this wall.
Why are you pumping the brakes right now? Yeah.
And that's, I think Peter handled it like I think most guys probably Absolutely. Should, but don't, in this weird bubble that's, yeah, 2 months, 2 months, 2 months. Maybe I mean, that's not enough time.
And I mean, if he was saying right now, absolutely in love, you know, I'm on cloud nine. All I want to do is put a ring on it, and I just can't wait for all these other guys to go so I can do that. And then the two of them are left standing at the end. A month or two later, it's over. You know what I mean? So then obviously you were lying right to everybody because, you know what I'm saying? So, like, at least he's honest and he's given her that precursor, like, you know, I want to continue here, and I'm getting there, but it's still going to take a little bit of time for me, you know? And I got to tell you, too. You know, at the point they're at, probably, you know, over whatever it is, 9 or 10 weeks of filming, that's probably like there's still a couple weeks left. And in this setting where you don't have any distractions, no phones, no family, no job, a lot can happen in a week or two. So, you know, once he brings her home, introduces her to his family and friends, gets all the feedback from them, and they give him that, you know, that feeling like, yes, she'd fit in perfectly, then it allows him in his mind and his heart to move forward a little bit further. So, I mean, a lot can happen in those last couple weeks. I just think it's respectable for him to tell you and me and everybody at home and her that, like, look, I'm liking this. It feels right, but there's still a little bit left to be said and a little bit more I want to find out about
He
first.
Was checking the adrenaline and the lust factor and doing... I mean,
easy to get swept up in,
yes,
that, in that whole thing.
When there's no phones,
romantic.
Yeah.
It's,
gotcha.
It's, you know, very, it's like just this, you know, perfect situation where we don't have to worry about anything else.
Well, a guy who's serious is really concerned about how a woman will fit into his family. Really, seriously, because that's a huge part of your life, is your in-laws. It's a Definitely. Huge, huge part.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that's what made Peter's hometown like a little bit more normal. Like there are real reservations in the real world. Like if you're getting to the point where you think that you might start getting engaged and more serious,
then there is heartache at that point and then things turn around.
Yeah, there are doubts at this point and he was showing it, and the show doesn't show that a lot in other seasons. So I think that's what made everyone was like, oh my God, like this is the worst thing ever. Like he doesn't know, he should know. But like this is actually
the realest
normal
thing ever. Yeah.
Well, for last season, for example, at the end, all of a sudden, we're down to what, 3 or 4, the same thing. And then all of a sudden, Vanessa is like, I don't know, maybe this isn't, where did this come from?
Yeah, you
know,
she was so just strong the entire season. And then you get towards the end and she starts freaking out.
Yeah, and you're sure she probably had that in her mind the whole time, but it wasn't, it didn't come out until the end when it's just a few people. So Pete's been very open about this from the beginning. Everything's been on the table. And I respect that. And I don't get why that's the one negative about their whole relationship.
Because we have to find something. I mean, come on.
No, well, there's, you guys big Peter fans?
No.
I mean, I find
something wrong with the whole. Everyone seems to be perfect. Like, you know, the image is everyone's. You know,
I am, by the way. He was number one pick. I took him, and you know, I think he's a good dude. Yeah.
Well, I find myself like referring to the time filming the show is like, or when you're doing this, all this stuff, it's. You know, you can't say, well, when we get back to the real world, because this is real, you know, but when we get back to the normal world. And there was a point last night, I think, when he was sitting with his friends and she went to the bathroom where he says, I really like her within this, you know,
bubble.
Within this world, within this bubble. But I don't know her day to day. I don't know what it's like to wake up next to her. I don't know what it's like to, you know, just get back into that daily routine. And so I think that when people do get to the end and start to have reservations, it's because you know that pretty soon there's going to be that transition from the real world to the regular world. And, you know, how will that work? Will it be a seamless transition? Will it be awkward? Will it feel clunky? Will things change? Will I feel differently? So I think that's when you get to this point, everybody's, it's natural to have a little hesitation because you know that, like, things are going to change. And hopefully what we have and what we're starting to develop here won't. But the bottom line is it's going to be different. And how will those differences work? And will what we've, you know, come to like about each other continue? Will we move forward? I think that's natural, though. Like you're saying, I mean, it's a reality check. At some point, you have to be like, everything about this is so easy. The real world's kind of, the regular world is kind of hard.
It's true when you're dating someone, even not on a reality show. You're kind of in a bubble. You're so in love with each other. Yeah. Everything's perfect. And
there's
then
always that honeymoon period. Yes. And it eventually comes to an end, you know?
Well, so Dean, do we have anything?
I think because where we had to find the issue with Peter, I think it's very clear what the issue was with Dean. And this, I felt really uncomfortable watching Dean's hometown because did we need to see this? Well, should the first time they're all together under a roof for the first time in 8 years, like, should we be watching this?
Look, he agreed to it, but it felt like, you know, when you drag someone to yoga class who does not want to be there? And they don't want to do the breathing exercises, and they don't want to listen to the gong, and they don't want to close their eyes and just feel the experience, which, if you actually find a good yoga instructor, it's pretty amazing. But he just didn't even want to hear it. And I feel like, because he's only 26, and I felt like he said, my dad's some kind of Sikh. So he wasn't even giving his dad the benefit of being a Sikh, not some kind of Sikh. He's a Sikh. So, you know, like, I felt like just right from the start, there was that little dig, and he wasn't ready to take it all in because it must be so crushing emotionally, 100%.
Well, to be fair, they haven't spoken in 2 years.
Yeah.
And I have, thankfully, a great relationship with my father. I couldn't tell you what his religion is. So if you don't talk to someone for 2 years and they switch religions over the last...
Well, it's a lifestyle switch, too.
Like, right. Everything changed, and then you're not part of that life. I think he was speaking from what information he had.
Of course, but he was so uncomfortable, and he wasn't really... It felt like he didn't want to take it in. He just still had all these, like, walls up. Like, I can't deal with this.
Yeah,
right,
he definitely wasn't participating.
No.
His father.
Both of them.
Both of them.
Yeah. I mean, the father at the beginning seemed very willing, a willing partner.
Yeah, I was like, this actually isn't going to be that bad.
He does his gong.
Like,
does
he
his gong.
Seems like he's gonna want to talk to Dean, actually learn, get to know Rachel. And then I feel like it was kind of going in that direction. And then
gave the feather, everything.
The feather, like, that was a great touch, and I thought it was going to be really great. And then I think Dean's uncomfortableness was just making me uncomfortable because he didn't know what to do, and so I was watching and I didn't know what to do, and it was, but I mean, it had to be done.
If you don't grow up with that lifestyle, it's very hard to come into it. My biological father became a Mormon, and I don't know anything about it. If I were to go visit him, I would not know. I'd be like, So I can understand that has to be hard, especially when you have a tough relationship.
And I think
Matt hasn't said two words about this.
I don't have much bad to say about Dean.
Nothing bad. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No.
No, this is nothing bad.
This isn't bad.
You know, it was, like, kind of tough to watch. I mean, I don't know his dad. I know Dean. And I'm just watching there. And you get to know these guys, like, you know, sort of, you can read their face a little bit. And I know how you know.
It was uncomfortable to watch.
You know?
Yeah.
And it was I think it's good for him because it's probably bringing to the surface some things that he wanted to discuss with his dad and that his dad, you know.
Absolutely.
Wanted to address with him. Maybe they didn't want to do it on TV for their first time, but at least it'll start the process. And I hope that, you know, if it's something that he, it, you know, puts in on his priority list, that he does iron those things out with his dad. If it helps him become even a better person than he already is.
But he was upset that his dad wasn't maternal after his mother passed away. And, you know, I felt bad for both of them in that instance, uh-huh. because his dad said, well, I was earning money. I don't know how to be maternal. Yeah. I'm
at
a dad.
At least he
dad.
Was honest.
Yeah.
I mean, again, you got to appreciate the guy's honesty.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that, I can't speak to it because I don't know what it's like, you know, to Dean's been through a lot. And you know, if you start to hear some of his story, it breaks your heart. And then you see him and how, you know, well he's done practically on his own for the last, you know, 10 years. And, you know, it was interesting to watch that. But I just think that, you know, if they can in the future address it again, work on things, or maybe not, you know, maybe that's enough for him. Maybe just they both just want to move forward. But it seemed to me, what the feeling I got was that if Rachel was going to come back and be in Dean's life, he was, you know, his door would be open. They could get to know each other better. And I don't know, the guy seemed reasonable enough that I think if Dean,
his dad,
I think if Dean wants to go back to that place again and to work on some things, I think the opportunity's there.
Dean seemed like he was embarrassed.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh,
I would be.
Can you imagine? You know, it's like, can you imagine just your whole personal life? Everything that you hadn't even addressed on yourself yet is now going to be addressed by everybody in America.
By the way, had no interest in addressing.
Right.
Because
Rachel
even mentioned that, said, well, have you reached out to him? He said, no, why should I have to? And whether you agree with
I thought was a good point. I agreed with him there more. You know?
Whether you do or not.
What do you mean?
It's a point, though, that whether no matter what side you're on, that's important here. He has not had any interest in reigniting this, and all of a sudden, hi, we're bringing cameras, and this is how we're going to do it.
So, I mean, I didn't think he handled it too bad, the father. You know what I mean? I didn't think it was that bad. Look, I mean, the important thing with the hometowns is to just show that everybody's family life is different. Everybody comes from a different background, you know? I mean, I think a big part of the show is just acceptance and keeping an open mind and you know, watching people's story and learning about their background and everything. And I don't know, to me, I was going to say that, to your point, though, I thought was interesting was when Rachel said, well, did you reach out to him? Well, why should I have to reach out to him? I agree with Dean on that.
Why?
I feel like it should be his father. I mean, I feel like his father should have been the one. I mean, he's the father. He should have been the one to sort of take the lead and say, I want us to have a relationship, and I want it to get better, and here's what we're going to do to make that happen. I don't think it was on Dean, you know, to like go to him and say, let's try to work on this. You know, I felt like it was on his dad. So
I mean, but how
I
many
agree with Dean on that?
But a lot of us have hard-headed fathers who don't think that way, and they have more liberal children who do think that way, and it is kind of on us sometimes,
right?
Because
and
they
I,
just
the
they
yeah,
won't
can,
they
right.
don't even think to reach out, not because they don't want to. It's just not the way they were raised. They don't do that. They're not maternal.
Right.
And so at some point you have to swallow your own pride and say, maybe I can teach him something.
I think that's a great point.
Yeah, listen, sometimes the children have to be the adults in the room.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, you guys make a point.
But I'm not agreeing.
You're not in his shoes.
I'm not necessarily agreeing in this case, but there are times where sometimes the children have to be the adults.
Yeah.
But like I said, either way, no matter what side you are on the line, that tells you, to me, that told me all I need to know going into it. He had no interest in doing this.
Yeah.
And why they couldn't have just gone and hung out with his friends or because that was another thing that we've heard throughout the season. Family isn't necessarily blood. Family are the people that made you who you are. And what's wrong with that? If he wasn't comfortable with this is the time where we're going to reconnect after 2 years, then I don't know. I just felt uncomfortable watching the whole thing.
Well, his dad did make him who he is in a lot of ways. So,
oh, absolutely.
I mean, yeah.
But it just, I don't know. I felt that's one of the reasons going in, we're hearing that. I'm like,
Well, he said, I think at least 4 or 5 times, like, I'm legitimately terrified.
Yes.
Like, I'm not nervous. Like, I'm legitimately terrified. And he said that over and over. So, like, I was starting to feel so bad that he was, like,
gonna vomit.
Cornered, like, yeah. into this situation. Not yeah. cornered, but, like, into this situation.
Anybody think that when you saw the two of them on their one-on-one in Switzerland, and he was talking about dinosaurs and
tooth fairies.
Yeah, but right. you know what I got from my point of view, I'm like, he was almost trying to maybe yeah. avoid the hometown.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was the sense that I got. You know?
Well, because we talked about that, about how if you're getting that one of those last one-on-ones, you're pretty much a shoo-in. Yeah. You just have to not fall over yourself. And then he fell all over himself, almost still self-sabotaging, but I think she had already sort of made the decision, like, no, this is someone yeah. that I want to
And that's
still...
why Twitter went crazy when you were let go, because everyone really thought, he's falling all over himself and can't make it through, and Matt, here he is, this guy, like, I've been reading what some people were saying after you left, and people are like, what? No! Come on!
I think
please.
I think even Dean was... A little surprised.
Yeah.
Like, I think after his date and after, you know,
the
whole
fest.
Awkward dinosaur conversation thing, I thought he was like, all right, I think I've come as far as I'm going to go.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, but I'm kind of okay with going home.
Well, there is some truth to that. I can tell you that when he got home from his one-on-one, we were all sitting around, and he admitted that the first half went about as bad as it could go. And, you know, I didn't see that until last week.
Right.
But he was just pointing out the fact that, like, yeah, it did not get off to a good start. It ended well. I recovered well, as Dean is, you know, really able to do pretty well. But, like, he figured, you know, once the day portion was over, I think he felt that he was already done in her mind. But then, you know, night rolled around, and I think the biggest thing for him was just to get away from, you know, this whole, like, I have to, you know, let her know that it's really not a good idea to come home with me because it's going to be so much. And then just to go and say, look, this is my back. This is what's going on over the past few years. This is my family situation. Like, it's on you. If you want to do it, then let's do it. But, like, it's going to be, mm-hmm. I think just when he switched from being so nervous and that fear factor went away, and just transition over to being honest with her, then she was reminded of, like, this is why, you know, me and Dean connect like we do, and then it worked out well for him, and it all, you know, it ended well for him, you know.
Well, not totally.
Well, I'll go to that point.
At the end of the, yeah, right. No, I know what you're saying. But the anticipation of the event.
I'm still back on last week.
Yeah, but you're right. The anticipation of the event is worse than the event.
Yeah.
Like, you work yourself up into, like, this, and if you just finally tell someone, and if you have a connection, they're going to get through whatever it is with you. But in the end, Dean, with Chris Harrison, when he comes out and there's 3 roses and you need some time.
Still this season, not nearly enough, Chris Harrison.
I know, he made a slight cameo.
Kind of calling it in.
So he's usually there more? I mean,
How often
did
you see him?
Well, I mean, he used to be really...
I mean,
I believe that.
He comes in, he's
is he
guy
nice?
To get along. Yeah,
cordial.
Nice guy. But he does his thing, and then Chris
back to the pool
and gets to explore the countryside. You know what I mean? Like, we see, we spend more time with him. It was always when he came around, you knew something was going down. That was basically was his role in the show.
That was
the same feeling we get.
Yeah.
Like when because, like, you always got a sense that something was going to happen. A couple times, Rachel popped in, came to visit, and then we would almost, no, I think this time it's going to be Chris. And then sure enough, here comes Chris. And then something interesting was starting to happen. But, he's a nice guy. I just didn't really get to know him all that well from what I was able to see.
Right.
Good guy, yeah.
Well, there's 3 roses. Dean doesn't get a rose. So it's Peter, it's Brian, it's Eric.
When that happened, I actually felt really bad for Dean.
Of
because,
course.
Because she even did that drink validation that he was like, I'm falling in love with you too. And I think then Dean got like a little bit more hopeful.
Yeah.
I think when he said that, because as we see, like, that the bachelor or bachelorette saying the L word doesn't happen. It's happened more recently, but it doesn't happen. So I think once he heard that, he's like, okay, everything's going to be okay.
That's the first thing he referenced. And she said, no, I meant it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying things to say it, but yeah, I think all of us sort of said, whoa, wait, did she just
We all
say
knew that?
That
was not good. We all knew that that was not going to last. We all knew that was...
What was that again?
He said, I'm falling in love with you after...
While they were laying on the floor by themselves.
At his dad's house in Colorado. They were laying on the floor. And he says, I'm falling in love with you. And she says, me too.
I'm falling in love with you too. Yeah.
And we all, Bachelor Nation went, like, why did you just say that? We know you're going to send him home. Like, it was kind of, you know.
I mean, have you guys always, how does that affect having been fans for so long? Like, when you watch the show and basically in the back of your mind already know a lot of who's going to stay and who's going to go. How does that like add to your viewing experience? I'm curious.
Over the years, I think it's pretty predictable.
You want to
like
know, yeah.
Pick any show. What's your favorite show? What shows do you watch?
Huge Sons of Anarchy fan.
Okay, so does it bother you if you get a spoiler? Like, I mean, it probably bothers you a little bit, but you can still going to watch the show.
It's a teaser, yeah. I mean, yeah. You're still going to tune in.
Of course.
Here we are pretty much spoiler free. Sure, you might hear people talk about things, but. As a whole, like we more predict
what's true and
correct,
what's,
yeah. And, or even seek those things out. So
we still
if
like
we don't
to
read
believe,
spoilers.
Yeah. We like to believe that the editing might actually be true, or you know.
And so, more than anything, we're just a lot of things you can telegraph. Like it was pretty clear to us
say,
watching.
It doesn't seem like you guys are like searching that stuff. I feel like there are
a lot of people. I mean, I have people in my
probably
family.
The majority.
That's all they do is
they
seek that
know
stuff
the whole
out.
Thing before
absolutely.
It even, yeah.
And
basically.
I don't quite get that. I said, well, you know, because
Ryan
I do
doesn't
think
even it, watch movie trailers.
Yeah.
No, he's a nightmare. Going
my whole life is
movie.
Spoiler free. I don't watch trailers. I don't watch coming attractions on TV shows. Like next week, although I do on this because sometimes we have to, because the way they shape the, like, oh, there's blood again.
Oh, yeah.
And someone's getting punched.
So many times,
oh, yeah, when Kenny
never,
was.
I knew in the back of my mind exactly how, where that bloody eye came from. And I never said it to anybody.
Yeah.
Just like, use your common sense. They're never going to let us go at each other.
Or you're going to.
That's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, do you watch any reality shows besides sports? Do you watch sports?
I watch sports.
What's your favorite sport? What's your team?
Basketball.
Who?
I'm a big UConn fan.
Okay.
Yeah. The ultimate reality show is sports. And
see,
there are no spoilers in sports.
Right.
And that's one of the best parts about sports. And so I've taken that into anything that I watch entertainment-wise, including this show, other than coming up next week or whatever. But I think it's... just makes it a little bit more fun not to.
Oh,
even if you don't,
I agree with you. I'm more like you.
Even if you don't know, and especially these people have been wrong before, but just to not even have it in the back of your mind.
I think it plays into like sports rivalries too. Like, I mean, I'm 45. Like, I remember like Bill Laimbeer and, you know, all his nonsense with, you know, what foul. Like, you know, he played into it and we liked it.
Sure.
So, I mean, it's the same thing. Like, we know a lot of it is. But we like it. It's fun.
Yeah, it's
silly.
Fun. It's fun. And I think, you know, I've had so many people around here, like, since I got back and since the show started to air, who are like, you know, I'm not really my thing. I'm not into it. I'm not enjoying watching it. I just want to see you on there. Well, I'm like, but you're not on there that much. I'm like, well, then don't. You know, you've got enough people who really enjoy the show, and it's a lot of fun for some people. And I think the people who it's a lot of fun for...
get that just, it's just fun.
It's just fun, you know? I mean, you have some people who are like, next week, here's what you should do. And then I'm like, well, I can't jump back into the TV. It's over. No. But if you want to put yourself on there more and be in, you know, be on screen more, go shove somebody or yell at somebody. I'm like,
that doesn't work there.
That's not what I did, and it's over now, so I can't go back and
wait,
do
so
it.
So what is your obligation to ABC? I know you probably can't talk contract, but are you still under contract with them? And are you doing anything more with them after this?
That you can won't be the last time I'll be on TV.
Like
last week. I'll be on TV again.
Well, I mean, for the reunion.
We're going to do that, yeah.
But
we're going to do that soon.
Beyond the reunion.
Possibly.
Winter Games.
Someplace.
I'm hearing a little bit about Winter Games, but it's very much in the early stages, so I don't know what the deal there is. I did see the first preview for Paradise last night, which
that came
cool.
out last night.
Right.
Is that where we're gonna see you?
You'll have to wait.
Do you know who the next Bachelor is going to be?
No.
Who would you pick as the next Bachelor?
I think it'd be a lot of fun to watch Dean as the Bachelor.
I thought that too.
I think it'd be a lot of fun. I think it'd be light. I think to...
He needs a woman. This poor guy with his family. We got to get him a woman.
Listen. He's not going to have any problems finding women.
That's what I was just going to say.
For the next 3 years. So I don't think you got to worry about him in that department. Trust me.
None of you guys have problems with that.
I've sat back and watched, and there's no reason to feel bad for Dean in that department. It's going to be just fine. Life is going to
Wait, how about you? What's your situation?
Still single right now. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe you can be the next Bachelor.
Maybe you can be the...
I mean, I think we would have had to see a little bit more of me than the little you did see. If it was up to me, for the longest time I said Dean would have a lot of fun. Like, it would just be fun. I think people would just laugh. It'd be light. And then there's Peter, who's a little bit more serious and who's really, like, in a place, I think, where a wife and a family are his main priority. You know, Dean's a little younger.
Peter's too serious to be the next Bachelor.
Well, that's my point. I mean, Dean is really like
fun to watch.
You'd be curious to tune in every week.
Like, what girl would want to marry into that family?
So I guess you'd have to find somebody.
Oh boy.
Somebody with an open mind.
Exactly. It's good.
But yeah, no, I don't know. I mean, those pretty much. You know, you got Brian in there too. I mean, I don't know.
Eric is
like positive all the time, uplifting, very like interested in what people around him are going through and how he can help them get through it. And there's another guy, you know, who would be good. I don't really know. Who do you guys think?
I don't know. I mean, we're going to have to wait and see how it all plays out. At this point, the coming attractions are.
Yeah.
We're going to see who it gets down on one knee and proposes to Rachel. And we have a lot to look forward to in the coming weeks.
Absolutely. Very exciting couple of weeks.
Thank you so much for stopping in and hanging with us. This has been really fun. Like,
you can join us anytime you'd like, us lowly radio folk.
If you'll have me back, I'd love to do it again sometime.
I don't know if you have like a website.
We'll see you every Tuesday.
Anything or Facebook.
I have an Instagram, which is a little bit hard to find, I think, at times. But for some reason, my name was used in about every variation besides Matt _Munson_. So that's how you can find me on Instagram. But I tried to just make it real simple, and I guess there are a lot of Matt Munsons around.
Well, so keep the two underscores in there to find Matt.
Yeah, between my first and last and at the end of it all.
So you can find Matt on Instagram and us on across all platforms at Bachelor Podcast. So this has been fun, you guys. Katie, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ryan Jones, I'm Christine Lee. We always let Ryan have the last word, but I think we should, I don't know.
I'm not the best looking guy in here anymore, so now we have to let...
That's debatable.
Thank you for joining us in the Bachelor Podcast.
Thanks again for having me, and I look forward to doing this again with you guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.